My dad, Pastor Salem, had a desire to tell the world of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and to encourage believers in their faith. I'm Mike Salem, and that continues to be our purpose here at the Christian Worship Hour, to deliver Dad's timeless messages to the world. We received a letter not too long ago from a friend in Virginia, and it reads, "Thankfully, the Lord rescues us every Sunday with Pastor Salem and your wonderful program on TV, right in our living room. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and thank you, Christian Worship Hour, for keeping Pastor Salem and his weekly messages on TV. Today, Dad will remind us that no one is beyond the reach of the devil, but if we are born again, we belong to Christ, and the devil can't touch our soul. We are a new person. Now, let's join Dad in his classic message, Create in Me a Clean Heart. We hope you will be enriched by today's message and service, and God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And here it is, a week has rolled by, and the Lord has tarried for most of us. Some of our loved ones have been taken up this week, I'm sure, somewhere. But most of us are here, but someday all of the Christians are going to go. Jesus is going to come, and we're going to go and join him. And won't that be something? We're looking at Psalm chapter 95 today, verses 1 to 7. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make joyful noise unto him with many psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands are formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship the Lord and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, Lord, we thank you that we can worship you and praise your name. We thank that we belong to you, and you know every one of us. You know us by name, and you love us and care for us when we trust in your Son, Jesus. So bless us in this service and honor your name in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa has a song. You're going to love it. No, Not One. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy, no, not one, no, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No night so dark, but his love can cheer us. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
That's wonderful to know that Jesus knows every one of us. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, a little sparrow falls to the ground and he sees it. A little sparrow. And my grief, there's a lot of them. And yet he knows all about us. He knows the hairs of our head are numbered. Not counted, but numbered. That is, when one hair falls, a number is missing. Can you imagine that? Of course you can't. It's God. And we just so thankfully knows all about us and he loves us. Have some wonderful letters. And here's a letter from prison, and we get a good number of letters from the prisoners, and we always pray for them, and we've always had our heart for those who are incarcerated. And so this is one from Salem, Oregon, and this young man writes, I have been trying to catch your show every Sunday. It gives me the hope I need to get through the week. I'm a pretty new Christian. I've accepted Jesus into my heart. I have faith in Jesus. My biggest problem is letting things go that I can't have no control over. Currently, I'm in Oregon State Prison. I have 90 months to go. I was married, but as soon as the trouble came, my wife divorced me. We have two sons together, 9 years and 3 years. Just so you know, I was defending her from a guy, and I hurt him. I made a mistake and have done a lot of drugs, but I'm clean now. Anyway, I love her, but I want to have a hard time letting it go and having faith in Jesus to handle it. My ex-wife and I will still talk. We're always close. Please pray for my sons and for her. Any literature you could send would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. And, of course, we send literature. We hear from so many prisoners. There's one federal prison in the Midwest. We heard from 14 different people in that prison. And so we give them hope because they can be like St. Paul, witness for Jesus, shine for Jesus, and he'll help you through every trouble and trial of life. He'll never leave you or forsake you. That's the good news of the gospel. I love to preach it. Here is Oak Harbor, Washington. I saw your show and request information on your sermon and anything that can help an elderly shut-in that lost relationships with his wife and children because of his addiction to alcohol. So here's a dear man who's in trouble with alcohol, and wouldn't it be good if we could put all that alcohol business out of business, but it'll take the Lord to do that, I know. But we can tell him yes. God will forgive you, and God will help you to have a victory. It's a battle, and you have to do it. You have to put everything into it, but the Lord will help you. And if you mean business, he'll help you. You can overcome it. You can beat it. I've seen people that have. Here's Altoona, Wisconsin. Thank you for your ministry. I am so blessed when I listen. It's made a great impact on my walk with the Lord Jesus. Ask God to bless you richly as you carry on and as he leads. Kansas City, Missouri. This may be my last letter. Doctor says I must go to assisted living because of eyes and other health problems. Just want you to know, as long as I breathe, my prayers will be with you. Just keep on trucking with Jesus. He'll take you by the hand. I feel his love and care for me right now. Well, I wrote to this dear brother and told him, we have CDs and DVDs that we will send to prisons wherever you are, if you have to get clearance at the prison. But this is this brother's going into an assisted living, so might not be any problem. And we send him on a free will offering basis. And so if you don't have anything, you don't need to give anything, we'll send it. And other people that have money, they'll pay one way or the other. Holy Spirit always balances it out. Well, let's see. Here's Shawnee, Kansas. Says, you state the truth and makes me realize I want to be a better Christian and live for Jesus. Thank you. And so we did send literature. And I'll tell you something else we send out, free and postpaid. We call it the New Song, New Song. Now, it's not a song book, so don't write for the hymnal, but it's called the New Song, something to sing. And it's hope, and it's a little Bible study in that. And so we sent this to this dear friend, and then we'll send it to you free and postpaid. In this little paper, it also has excerpts from a lot of letters that we get that I know you'll enjoy. It has the sermon topics and the texts and everything. It's just a wonderful little paper. We really should charge for it, but we don't. We're big-hearted, and we just send it out free and postpaid. And let me give you the address right now so I don't forget it, and you won't forget it. So get your pencil, because I know you can't remember it. Maybe you can. Get it in your mind to write down. And it's the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in good old Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can get us on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. So there it is on your screen, and be sure to get that written down. Here's a letter from Pulaski, New York. I am a Christian, retired from my nursing career. I'm writing to ask 3 copies of your booklet on suicide. I have 2 close friends who have had children commit suicide. I would like a copy. I'm on a fixed income and unable to send you any money. I give to my church regularly, however. I enjoyed your program this morning. Thank you so much for sharing your gift with us. All right, now she's writing about a little booklet we have. It's a 10-page booklet. It's not a pamphlet. It's a little booklet. And it is is entitled, Can a Christian Who Commits Suicide Go to Heaven? And we have 8 reasons out of the Bible why, if you're a Christian and you commit suicide, you'll go to heaven. And it's filled with hope. And so you write to us. Now, here's a lady. We're going to send 3 of these booklets. The postage alone cost us, but we're going to do it on a free will offering basis. And so we're glad to do this. Some of you listening in may want to help her and help with some of the expenses. But either way, God will provide. Praise the dear Lord. Here is Edmonds, Washington. We listen to you every Sunday. My husband and I are both paralyzed in wheelchairs. Sometimes we're bed-bound. Your ministry is such a blessing. We go to Calvary Chapel, Edmonds, Washington. We live 2 blocks away from our church. God is so good, and we're able to roll there with our wheelchairs. We thank you for your prayers and encouraging letters. And now that's a lesson for all of us. Here's some folks, and they're going into church with a wheelchair. And you're an able body. You could be in the Olympics, and you're sitting home, and you're not budging an inch, not going to church. And so you ought to make an effort to go to church. Find a church where they preach the Bible. They need you and you need them. And God tells us he wants us to assemble together, to join together. And maybe it's a small church and maybe it's a little Bible study. 2 or 3 are gathered together. There I am in the midst of them. So you just come to Jesus and just get with God's people. You need each other in the Christian faith. One more letter I want to read, Sioux Center, Iowa. And they write and say, I've watched Christian Worship Hour for many years. Now I am unable to attend church, so it's a real blessing to hear your message each week. I'm approaching my 90th birthday in January. I'm in good health except being wheelchair bound as a result of a stroke in 1985. I thank the Lord every day for my many blessings. Pray the Christian Hour will continue to bless many as he has me, yours in Christian love. And so here we are, have this dear brother writing in and in a wheelchair, but happy in the Lord. And you know you can live above these problems and trials if you just trust Jesus, if you just love Jesus and just put everything into his hands. There's a reason for everything. And the Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And I know I broke my leg. I have to have a walker to get around. I just praise God for that because I know there's a reason and there's a purpose. And when we get to heaven, God will say, you know why I broke your leg? Well, you know, I don't know. And then he'll tell me, well, you was getting proud. You was walking too good for 94 years old. He had to slow you down. I don't know what the reason is, but he'll have a good reason and he'll do the right thing. So just That's why we loved with the Christian Worship Hour, because we have hope. For those who are deep in sin, drifted away from the Lord and having to worrying about your sins, we have hope for you because Jesus says if you receive him as your personal Savior, he'll take away your sins and he'll make it as white as snow. He'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you can help us. If you believe in this ministry, if you're getting help from it, you think it's of the Lord, something God wants, then you need to support us because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And believe me, we need your help. James says you have not because you ask not. So I got to thinking, well, I haven't said much about giving and about offerings, so maybe they think I got plenty. Maybe they'll write to me and for an offering. I don't know. So we have to tell you that, yeah, we have a need. We have a big need. We're underwritten by God's people, no church or organization, just God's people. So you pray, and this is our address. It's the Christian Worship Hour, and it's the box 2002, the Christian Worship Hour, box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can write to us and get to us on the christianworshiphour.com. As a matter of fact, wherever you are in the world, you can send an offering. That's unbelievable. You can send it in your form of money, and we'll get it in American money, and we can pay our bills. And here's how you do it. First of all, you get the Christian Worship Hour. You just get that on your computer there. And then there's a place that says donate. Just look around, you'll see donate. That means you're going to give something to God's work. And then you put on and you find PayPal. And then you put on whatever you want to give. And that means that we're your friends, but your friends need help to carry on. And if none of you help us, if you don't stand by, we can't carry on. But we believe that you'll help us because we've been on for 38 years. And God has used us in many ways and blessed many hearts. That's all we're here for. So you can write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you're on shortwave radio, we can't put it on a screen for you, so you listen carefully, and you can help us too. We'd love to hear from you. So if you write to us, and then you might say, well, I don't know if they'll use the money wisely. Maybe they'll buy a fancy car or something like that. Well, let me tell you, we're a member of what they call the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They check our audit. They audit all of our books, not only what we get, but how we spend it. And we're all above board. We're clean as a hound's tooth. And you can get the Evangelical Council Financial Accountability. You can get that on internet, and you can read the whole story. So we're looking to you, thanking you for what you're going to do, and praising God for how he's helped us along. So now Jan's going to pray, and then I'm going to pray, and then she'll play, and then we'll just leave the rest to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you, and thank you for ministering to us in music like that. Well, we're reading from Psalm 51 today, the opening verses of that chapter, verses 1 to 4, if you'd like to locate that. And it's the words of David after his terrible sin with Bathsheba. And so then he's talking to God, he's praying to God, and he's saying, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly for mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." And today we're praying for Syria, the dear people of Syria scattered all over the world now, and now they're migrants, and how they are having to suffer. And so we're going to pray for them also. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, that David, though he sinned terribly, was forgiven fully and completely, and his sins were all blotted out. And as you told, as Isaiah of old said, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And David experienced that because as he went to you, confessed his sins openly, and called upon your name, so he was cleansed of his sins. And now today we can do the same thing, no matter what our sins might be. Maybe some people say, "Oh, I knew it was wrong and I sinned anyway. I sinned against light." God will never forgive that. God will forgive all our sins. He says, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins." And so we just pray that if there are those who are listening in today that don't know you as their Savior, or those maybe drifted away, they'll come to Jesus, love him and trust him. And we do pray, dear Lord, for those poor, dear people in Syria. Many of them are Christian people, but we pray for the unsaved. We pray for the Muslim. We pray for any, Lord, that are having to go through these trials. And we pray that through that you'll supply their needs and you'll help them in their need, and that you'll turn their hearts to Jesus, that you'll help them to put their call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And out of the troubles and trials of life, may they find the Savior, the wonderful Savior. So we love you, and we just pray for them. We know you love them and will help them. So now we pray to you'll bless us in this service and honor your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Barb is a song today, "God on the Mountain." God bless you, Barb.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain, and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, God in the valley, when things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times, the God of the day still God in the night. We talk of the faith when you're up on the mountain. Talk comes so easy when life's at its best.
how it's down in the valley, with trials and temptations, it's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God in the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. The God in the day is still God in the night.
Well, that's a wonderful thought, this God of the mountains. He has all power and might, and you know He's the God in the valley. And when you're on the mountain, everything's going fine, the sun's shining, everything is breaking right. When you're down in the valleys, things go tough. We always have those hard times. Life is going to, Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations. So whether we're on the mountaintop singing or whether we're down in the valley hurting, Jesus is with us, God is with us. And you need to just love Him and trust Him. Well, next week, we're going to have a very special service. And I hope you'll tell all of your friends. And I hope you'll pray and that you'll join us. Because next November 1st is a Sunday set aside as National Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And all over the world, we're going to pray for those going through persecutions, troubles, and trials. And, of course, the Christian Worship Hour is part of the international church because we're all over the world. We carry the gospel, carry it on television, and we do on shortwave radio. And so we're going to have a church service. And every worship, you worship with us every Sunday, every weekend. The different times, sometimes we're on Saturday and different times of the week, but we're going to join with the international church, and we'll have a special service just for those of you who are being persecuted, going through the hard times. So you'll know you're not forgotten, and you can take hope and you can take faith and strength that the body of Christ is thinking of you and remembering you. But today we're going to think about a prayer that David made. And we all know the story of David and David's sin. And we're not going to spend a lot of time with that because what we want to do is talk about how he dealt with that sin. You remember David committed adultery and he committed murder. Adultery with Bathsheba. And then in order to cover up and so that he would have her as his wife, he arranged it so in battle, they were having, at that time, fighting with the Ammonites. And so he had his chief of the army, a man named Joab. And he says, I want you to get Bathsheba's husband, his name was Uriah. And I want you to get Uriah on the front lines. And then when the battle gets hot, I want all of you to pull all the men back, but don't tell Uriah, because I want him to be killed. And that's exactly what they did. And Uriah was killed. So it was a terrible thing. And then Nathan comes, the faithful prophet Nathan comes, and he talks to David, and he tells him of his sin, convicts him of his sin. And so David then is broken to heart when he realizes the terrible sins he's committed. And that's the way it is, you know. We usually do our sins, and then we see how bad they are. We don't think about it for the minute, and we just want to do a certain thing. And so we commit our sins, then we see how bad they are. And so we're going to look at what happened now. David is a repentant king. He's the king of Israel, but he's repentant, and he's coming to the Lord. And he comes to the Lord, and this is what he prays in the 10th verse of the 51st chapter of the Psalm. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So first of all, I want you to look at this story and realize it's always possible for a child of God to fall into sin. In our minds, we think of little sins and big sins. But God said sin is sin. And he says that if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty of all. So there is no such thing as little white lies or little sins. They are terrible, evil sins in the sight of God. And God's not going to allow one sin into heaven. That's why we have to come to Christ and have to be dealt with that. And David does with that. We're going to look at that in just a little bit. So whether we have our little sins or whether we have our big sins, we're all poor old lost sinners. And none of us can stand up and say we've never ever sinned, because we sin every day. Not only by what we do, but what we don't do. Because there are times that we ought to do something for God. We ought to help somebody. We ought to worship the Lord. We ought to do something and we don't do it. So there's sins of omission as well as sins of commission. And we're guilty of every one of them. I'm just as guilty as the next man. And we don't want to get the idea that, well, I don't do this and I don't do that, so I'm a pretty good guy. And then we get proud. But the Bible tells us, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And pride cometh before a fall, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And when you think that you're so good and so clean and so white and such a wonderful Christian, then you want to be very careful, dear friends, because you're just getting ready for a big fall. And so David did this. And we need to remember here that when Jesus said that we're going to sin, Jesus talks to Peter. And he tells Peter, he says, Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter says, I would never deny you. I'd die before I would deny you. And I think Peter was genuine. He was honest. And he says, I'd die before I ever do that. But boy, the devil comes around, and the devil's got a lot of ways to work. And before he knew it, poor Peter, he was like somebody said, he was warming himself by the fire there. And before he knew it, he was in the fire. And he was swearing that he didn't even know Jesus Christ. He never dreamed he would do such a thing. So when we think that we'll never deny the Lord, and we think we could never do a certain sin or something else, we better be awful careful, because every one of us can sin. And Satan is there to catch us up, and he's got a million ways to do it. And the devil does it all the time. He's been in the business for a long time, and he knows just how to get to us and to cause us to sin. And so we have to be on guard all the time. That's why we need to pray. We need to read our Bible. We need to be in the church. We need to be active in Christ. And we never need to get so high and mighty we think that we'll never, ever sin. One thing like Satan likes to do is he likes to make his temptation attractive. He makes it look so good. You know, when he wanted David to sin with Bathsheba, do you think he brought around some old woman who would scare people, look like a witch? Well, I'll bet you that when he saw Bathsheba, says she was a Hittite. She wasn't Israelite. She was a Hittite, and I'll bet you she probably was Miss Hittite of the whole empire. That was would be at 1000 BC. But don't you think that when she came along, that she would just be a beautiful woman? And Satan knew that, and so he just knew exactly what kind of bait to use, and that's what he used. He does that all the time. You know, that you see when you have television, you see the liquor and the drugs and all of the rest of them. That's what they do all the time. They make it so enticing, so beautiful. You take some of these beer commercials. I'd like to go to them and make a beer commercial. And I go in there with my walker, and I'm all stooped over, and I got gray hair, and I'm 94 years old, and I want to put on a commercial for the beer company. Do you suppose they're going to hire me? They're not going to let me in the door. They're always young people. They're always laughing. They're always happy. There's never a tear. You never see a sorrow in those commercials. See that? The devil does that. And he's always there. And all these poor young people, today they see these things and everything looks so good and everything looks so simple. And so they will say, we'll just try a little tobacco. And they never know the thousands upon thousands that die from tobacco. when I was a child, when I was in high school, they always used to say, you can't prove that tobacco harms you. That's what they advertised. But now they're finding out that can be a terrible way to die. So don't touch a cigarette. Don't touch any liquor. Don't touch any drugs. Don't get near that pornography, because Satan is there to tempt you, and he makes it look so good, so wonderful, so exciting. And so just be careful when it looks so beautiful. And I think, too, of people that are crazy for money. There are some people, they never get enough money. It just shines and it glitters and and they won't give it away and they won't use it to help people or to advance the kingdom of God. They just stack it up and stack it up. And, you know, I was thinking about that just the other day. I should preach a sermon on money. And when I do, I'm going to tell you about, they say, you can't take it with you. Well, supposing you could take it with you. I thought about that. Supposing God says, yep, you can take it with you. So you get up there and you got these beautiful pearls. They are so beautiful. Oh, my. And they're as big as the end of your little finger. They're so big and beautiful. And you get there and all of a sudden you're looking and there's 12 gates to the holy city. And they're big gates. You could drive a truck through them. And every gate is one pearl. And you're sitting with this miserable little thing here. You want to hide it. Then you look at your gold and that glitters and everything. And, oh, boy, you got a whole pocket full. And all of a sudden, all the streets are made out of gold. They're walking on it. Throw it in the garbage. You see, God, the devil misrepresents these things to us. And we have to be careful. And so I want to tell you this. There, none of us are going to get away from the tempter. One way or another, he's going to be there. He's going to come for you. But let me tell you something else. No one is beyond the reach of the tempter. He'll tell us, Jesus tells us, he says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We better realize that. We better know that. We better be careful, because we can. The devil will come to every one of us in one way or another. So in chapter 8, Jesus tells the parable of the sower. He says that some seed fell on the rock. Luke 8, verse 13, he says, they on the rock. Then he compared the seeding to people, their souls. He says, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation, they fall away. So there you see it. People start out in the faith. They start out, I've been in the ministry for 71 years, and they start out in the things of the Lord, but for drop away, fall away. I've seen it so many times. In the hour of temptation, they fell. So fair-weather Christians are not going to make it. When the storms come, the fair-weather Christian's going to give up. He's going to drop out. He's going to be, you can't find him for his dust. You know, Christianity is no dress parade. It's a battle. It's a war. It's a struggle. And when we come to those, you know, what is the mark of the church? What do we march under? March under the cross. It isn't the easy boy chair. Isn't it the recliner? It isn't the easy way of life. It's the cross. And, you know, I was thinking of this. They could have taken a lot of things to stand for Christianity. They could have taken a cradle, talking about the coming of Jesus. Or they could have bought the dove that bring peace and was the baptism of Jesus. They could have brought all kinds of different symbols. But lo and behold, what did they pick from day one? The cross on which the Christ died. And so we have to see that it's a battle. It's a struggle. And whenever you get into a struggle, just remember this. He's got a lot of ways to attack you, a lot of ways to come. And the way you're not expecting is the way he'll come. I read a story about a part of the state, and they had some beautiful trees, and they stood there for years, a whole grove of trees, and all of a sudden, a storm came, and every tree fell. And you know why? They had never had a wind from the south. It was always from the north, always from the north. And when a strong wind came from the south, they all fell. And that's the way we have to be. The devil's going to come from every different angle. And that's why we have to stay close to Jesus, love Jesus, trust Jesus, and lean on him. And he'll carry us through. And so then David says, you see, David looks to the Lord. And so he says, oh, God, forgive me for my sins, for they are many. And so then we look at the third thing in this story. And that is when we sin, God's Spirit always convicts us. He'll listen to David pour out his heart to God as the Holy Spirit convicts him of his sin. Psalm 51, he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Psalm 51. I'm telling you, if you can sin and have no conviction, it means that you don't have the Spirit of God. It means you don't know Jesus. Because if you know Jesus and you sin, that Holy Spirit's going to start talking to you. And you're going to feel guilty and you're going to feel bad. And you're not going to get over it until you make it right with the Lord. Because you see, when we sin, we lose the joy of our salvation. That's what he says in the 12th verse. David says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. He says, I was so happy with God. I was so happy with the God. And all of a sudden, I've lost that happiness and that joy. I walked with Jesus. I talked with Jesus. I was thrilled with my dear Savior. And then all of a sudden, oh my God, I lost that joy. Now let me tell you something right now. I'm not talking about your salvation. If you were born again, if you accepted Jesus Christ, you will never lose that salvation. Jesus says when you accept him, he takes us in his hand and he holds us in his hand. And God holds the whole earth in his hand, the whole world, and he holds the whole universe in his hand. And he keeps it all together so it doesn't all collide and fall in a heap. He holds all the universe and God is there. And so we are told in Hebrews, in John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. He says, I hold you in my hand and then God holds my hand. That's how secure you are. And then somebody told me one time, says, well, what if I want to get out of his hand and lose myself? I says, you mean you're stronger than God? Where did you come from anyway? So this wonder, we're not talking about losing your salvation. You can't lose that salvation, but you can lose the joy of your salvation. And you know, David always was after God's own heart. He trusted God and he loved God, and God loved him and watched over him and helped him. And he never let him go, but David lost all of his joy. And he was sad, and he didn't know what to do. And then he knew what to do. Nathan tells him, you get to God. And David says, oh, wash me and I shall be clean. Wash me and I'll be white as snow. God can take away those sins. We are still a child of God, but there's no joy in our life because we've sinned and that fellowship is broken. And so we come to Jesus. And in John 1, verse 2, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and restore unto us our wonderful salvation. And so this wonderful soul, God talks to us and we sin and we say, oh God, I'm not happy. I know that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me. You come back to Jesus. And you know, all the time we get letters from you people accepting the Lord for the first time. We always send literature, but we get letters from people that say, I drifted away. I was in a church fight and I got mad and I left and I drifted away from the Lord. Or I got into some sin and I didn't realize and I got in deep. We hear from people in prison who drifted from the Lord, and while they're in their fallen, backslidden state, they commit some sin, terrible sin, and they're incarcerated. But here's the beautiful, this is why I love to preach. Confession of sin always brings salvation and forgiveness. I love to preach because there's hope. I think of some poor dear soul, and I read about it just the other day. This dear woman had an abortion, and that was 10 years ago. And when she sees a 10-year-old child, she aches. And she wonders if God ever can forgive her. And that's why I love to preach, because you come to Jesus and do like David and ask him to take away your sins, and he'll wash them away. He'll cleanse you. Listen to David. He says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide not thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities." All of my sins, David has said, just wash them away, blot them away. And you know, in the book of Hebrews, Jesus tells us, God tells us, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's just taken our sins from us. And how far is the east from the west? There's no way to measure, no way to get to it. Totally far apart. Put them in the ocean and they're gone forever. Well, our sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. And so this wonderful Jesus helps and saves us. And how many times will he forgive us? He'll forgive you 10,000 times. Supposing you're having trouble with liquor. I've talked to these people who they're just plain drunkards. And they've been on this liquor and they're trying to get off. I think we had just read a letter from a man from having problems with liquor. So you ask Jesus to forgive you, and he forgives you. And you get along just fine. All of a sudden, you're with the buddies, and you get a hold of them, you drink again. And you ask Jesus to forgive you. And then you get going, and then you fall again and again and again. And you say, how many times is God going to forgive me? He'll forgive you every time you ask him. My grace greater than all of our sins. The grace of God is greater than all the sins of the world. You can't imagine that, can you? Of course you can't. You're not God. My grace is sufficient for thee, Jesus said. And when we fail, get back to him and keep coming back until you get on your feet. And in my ministry, I've seen it happen. People on drugs, people on liquor, people on smoking. Pick up people that are in troubles with pornography. When I first started out, we didn't even know what pornography was. We're like one poor old fellow. They went to his house and they were checking around. And they says, do you have any pornography? And he says, no, I don't even have a pornograph. That was my age. We didn't know what it was to pornography. But there's around today. And pastors even have problems with it. Thank God I don't have a computer. Unless that's one sin that I don't have. And so this wonderful confession means made to God. You talk to God. You don't need to tell the whole world. Just go to God. That's what David says against thee in verse 4. Against thee only, he's talking to God. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And, you know, all sins basically are against God. And so we to God for our confession. And so we'd get those, go to the Lord, and he washes us clean. If you're a sinner today and you've never accepted the Lord, I just want to ask you to pray for Jesus. And you just ask Jesus. We're told, you know, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I'll sup with him. I'll fellowship with him and he with me. And so this wonderful Jesus says, you have to open the door. I am not a trespasser. And Jesus stands at the door and he knocks and he wants to come in. But he'll never come in unless you invite him in and open the door. You know, maybe somebody's right now, Jesus is talking to you. Holy Spirit, Jesus is at your door. You know you ought to confess your sins. You ought to get rid of your sins. You don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. And you ought to do it, but you just don't do it. And then the Lord talks again. And he, again, and how many times does he come? Maybe he will only come once. Maybe he'll come a dozen times. I don't know. But I know there'll be some time will be the last time, and he won't be there again. Ask him to come in. You see, I don't. How do you ask him to come in? Well, how do you ask anybody to come in? You open the door and say, come in. And so that's what you do with Jesus. You just say, and maybe even for the first time, maybe you've asked the Lord and you drifted away and he's knocking at your door to open up and to let him come in or come back to him like the prodigal son. And so then you say, as many as received him, just receive him, just all just say, just dear Jesus, come into my heart. And I've sinned against you. Put it in your own words. Don't get fancy, the thee and the thous and all of the rest of it. Just in your own words, you just say, wherever you are, say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. I ask you to come into my heart, take away my sins. And I promise to forsake my sins because Jesus taught repentance. And repentance means turning away. You live in the bars, you ask Jesus to come to your heart, and you live in the bars. No, you turn your back on it. You've got to turn from it. And so you say, I'll turn from my sins the best I can. Maybe you fall back, maybe you get up a dozen times, 100 times, I don't know. And then you ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins, and he'll wash you clean. And then you thank him for saving you. And then you tell somebody. And just so in your own words do it. I talked to a man one time, not too long ago, and about accepting Jesus. He didn't have the foggiest idea how to pray. And I told him, John, listen, just do this. His name wasn't John, so don't ever see John. You say, oh, I heard about you last Sunday. His name wasn't John. You can say Pete, you can say Harold, whatever you want to say. And I said, now listen. You just ask Jesus to come into your heart in your own words. And so he had a little prayer. And at the end of the prayer, when to say amen, he didn't know he was supposed to say amen. He said goodbye. Well, that's just fine. God knows what you mean. Amen means amen. That's it. You're saying amen in a different way. So don't get fancy. Don't get touchy about it. And then accept Jesus. And once you've accepted the Lord Jesus, you'll have that wonderful joy. And then tell somebody. Tell somebody what you did. God isn't looking for a bunch of secret servicemen anymore. He wants you to be wide open for him. He doesn't want us to be ashamed of him. He wants us to openly confess him before men. So tell somebody, maybe some of you men at home, and maybe you're praying right now. I have a suspicion that somewhere, someplace in this world, there are men that are asking Jesus into their heart. Now you tell your wife. And I'll tell you why. She's praying for you. And your mother, I'll bet your mother since the day of your conception probably prayed for you that you'd come to Jesus. Now your wife is praying for you and you've been stubborn and you don't tell her anything. You don't go to church. You sit there and you watch some dumb show. And then when you're done, you don't know what you've seen and you forgot it anyway. It's just as well, I suppose. Well, so then you tell her, tell somebody. And then when we have your funeral, they can say, I know my husband is in heaven. He told me so. I've had enough sermons, enough funerals where they're saying, oh, I wonder, I hope. Well, don't make anybody hope over you. Let them know, yes, I'm making my stand for the Lord for you. And then you know what you do? You get to work because restoration always brings aspiration. It brings a hope and a desire and a love to serve Jesus. That's what it does. And when you're born again, David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, filled with clean thoughts. And the psalmist is saying long time ago, he says in Proverbs, keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. And then when that comes, oh, after that new heart, then comes that aspiration, that serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That happened over and over in the Bible. Happened to the woman of Samaria. When she accepted Jesus, she had 5 husbands living with a 6th. When she was saved, she went and told her friends. The maniac of Gadara, the minute he was free of the demons, he said his name was Legion. Well, the Roman Legion had 6,000 members in it. And he says, I'm free. Jesus, I want to go with you and serve you. Over and over, when they find Jesus, they want to serve him and follow him. So if you're accepting Jesus today, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to get us on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you've accepted the Lord, we'll send you some scriptures. We'll send you some verses to get you started in the Christian life. If you have some problem, if you're having problem with suicide, we have a special article on that you can write in. Maybe you have a friend that's struggling over that, and we can send it and help you. So we hope that you'll write to us. We need to have you write. We need to have you help. You need to send us a gift. We can't carry on without your help. Now I'm going to pray for you. And you do what God lays on your heart in living, in giving, in serving. Heavenly Father, thank you for the dear Savior, Jesus. Thank you for everyone that he saved. And just in these last few moments, as we've preached this word all around the world, people open their heart to Jesus. Thank you for them. We thank you for those who are on beds of sickness, Lord, that you'll bless them, and those who are lonely, and give them courage and help them to know that you'll never leave them or forsake them, and help them to know that the Christian Worship Hour prays for them and preaches for them and brings them the message to cheer and to comfort and to strengthen. Oh God, those who have lost loved ones, help them just to lean on you and find in you strength and help. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to thank you all for opening your homes. Thank you for being with us. We trust that you'll have a great week. Maybe this is the week the Lord will come. But whatever it is, love him, serve him. There are lots of people need help, and there's a lot of people need a witness, and you can be the one to do it. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.